It is 27 minutes after the hour on this fine Tuesday morning where it's cold all over the place and snow all over the place where it didn't usually happen.
That a flannel shirt, Don?
Ooh. Oh, it is a flannel shirt.
Look at
it
that.
It is.
Oh.
Look at that.
It is, yeah. I thought I would, you know, wear a flannel shirt in honor of y'all.
Is that a Texas flannel shirt?
I bought it in Texas, so I guess it must be a Texas flannel.
You can see right through Texas flannel. I'm wearing a Minnesota flannel here.
It's not all that heavy. I have heavier shirts, believe me.
It's a flannel day.
I don't mean to laugh, but I mean I remember when I moved to Arizona years ago. Every time I'd call back to Minnesota, I would give whoever answered the phone grief about the nasty weather and how lovely it was in Arizona. But it didn't take long for the weather to turn, and all of a sudden it was cold where I was, and the folks in Minnesota had the last laugh.
Yeah,
but I'm not laughing because you guys are. This is bad.
It's a struggle. Oh, we'll find out what it's.
We had -5 degrees this morning.
Oh man,
unheard of.
Oh man, a temperature records have got to be falling left and right.
This
is awful.
We're talking to Dr. Don Clark, member of the Board of Creation Moments, a biochemist with lots of years in pharmaceuticals, and now he's got lots of years in winemaking, too, at the Valle del Apache Winery in Garden Valley, Texas. Garden Valley's about, 80 to 90 miles east of Dallas, a little bit north and east of us here in Harker Heights. So you've gotten your share of snow and ice too, probably, huh?
Oh, we did. We had probably 4 to 6 inches of snow.
Oh, okay.
But that was preceded by a ice storm that came through, and then it took a couple of days for the snow to arrive. But now everything is snow covered.
Yeah,
this is highly unusual, and highly unusual that it would stay more than a day.
Mm-hmm. But, you could probably go ice skate on that beautiful pond of yours, couldn't you?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily try that. There still is some open waters, because I have aerators in the
water. Oh, that's true,
That's preventing the ice from covering completely.
Well, don't take the risk. Don't do that.
No.
You can limit your outdoor activities to making snow angels. And, of course, you're probably not acquainted with a Minnesota snow angel, are you? Don, I know you've lived in a cold climate.
I'm sure I'm not.
Up in Minnesota, we make them face down so you can see the smile. You know,
that's how
that works. There was a little clip on our local news last night, and it had a Swedish guy, or a guy with a he was from Finland, and a new game that the Finnish are playing. Is running around in the snow without shoes. I have no idea why.
Okay.
The question why would anybody do that never came up. I mean, they wear socks. They usually wear like 2 socks on each foot, but why?
Yeah, you could endanger yourself that way.
Yeah. You can do it.
Yeah. What's the point?
Yeah,
people running around.
Feet, I guess.
Yeah. Those are the same people that take a dip in frozen lakes and then run into a sauna and then go back out and do it again, you know? Never understood that.
Yeah, we did that in Russia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Oh, really?
That's
right.
That explains a lot, Don. Yeah.
It does. My mind has never been the same since.
Well, we need your mind here. We need to take a look at this article at Science Daily. This is an interesting link, and I'd not heard this expressed before, but this is recent research out of the University of Cambridge. And there is data to indicate, I'll just read the summary of the research, a new study provides evidence of a mechanism by which climate change could have played a direct role in the emergence of SARS-CoV, the virus that caused the COVID-19 pandemic. And they're talking about the increase in global greenhouse gas emissions spawning more forests, especially in South Central China, a hot spot for bat-borne coronaviruses. The data, the article goes into, how many species of bats there are and how many varieties of COVID each one carries. Do they really know that?
Well, the basic data they should know, for example, the article mentions that there are 3,000 different types of coronaviruses and a certain number of bat species, and each bat species carries about 2.7, coronaviruses each. And so the whole premise of the article, obviously, is that, well, if you have more bats, you're going to have more different types of coronaviruses. Which is not a bad assumption, but they go on even further, because the area that they're talking about they're saying, well, we looked at temperature, we looked at precipitation, we looked at cloud cover going back 100 years, and then we developed a vegetation map, if you will, of the area, and then we know what it looks like today and how much vegetation is there, and lo and behold, there's more vegetation in this area, the vegetation has gone from a kind of grassy, brushy area to more having trees and much more vegetation. And much more habitable by bats, for example, and which is the point of their article. So they're saying, okay, now we got more bats here. So it looks like the Wuhan virus originated from this area. So we're going to do a study of the southern Chinese Yunnan province, and lo and behold, look, there's more bats. So there, of course, we're going to have a virus come out every now and then due to the increased bat population, which they link to increased change in climate change. Now, this brings up the whole climate change argument again. Is the climate changing? Yes. Is it going to continue to change? Yes. Has it changed throughout the history of the Earth? Yes. So, of course, contention is, well, the increase in CO2 is causing this effect.
Is that a logical assumption? That is an assumption, isn't it?
Well, we know that increase in CO2 will cause an increase in vegetation. I mean, CO2 is not a toxic gas, obviously, but it does increase the vegetation in an area where there might be increase in CO2. It's a natural balancing effect that God designed into the world, the global system that we live in, so that we would have a natural balance of oxygen and carbon dioxide and nitrogen and the gases that we need to live. So, the more CO2 you have, the more vegetation you're going to get. And
now, would that be evenly distributed around the Earth, or would there be pockets of concentration of CO2 that might see more forest growth, or is there forest and green stuff growing all around the Earth due to this now? Are we seeing more vegetation on the Earth?
Well, they didn't go that far. Obviously, yes, they didn't go that far. They didn't give you any data with regard to the CO2 concentration in this area, or the CO2 concentration in this area relative to the rest of the world, or relative to the rest of China, where they might not be seeing, increase in vegetation, for example. So we don't have that data, and the only thing that we have is this comparison of the data that of the world, of the temperature. They took the temperature, the precipitation, and the cloud cover in this particular region, and they compared it to what they're finding today. So it's a very limited area that they looked at, and yet they make these broad brush conclusions from this very limited data in saying that, we have more bat species in this area than we did back then. Did they measure the bat species back then? No.
That's what I'm questioning here. It says they then used information on the vegetation requirements of the world's bat species to work out the global distribution of each species in the early 1900s. Comparing this to current distributions allowed to see how bat species the richness, the number of different species has changed across, well, since the early 1900s. I can't believe there was reliable data 100 years ago on all these bat species and where they lived.
They're making all kinds of assumptions. They're making that, okay, this is what we think the vegetation was in this particular region, so therefore it is suitable for bat populations or it's not suitable for bat populations. Not saying that they have any data as to whether or not those areas had actual bats or not. They're just using the vegetation calculations, I might add, estimates that they've gotten from the recorded temperature data and precipitation data. And that's what they're using to make all of these projections to say, okay, this was the distribution of bats, this is the distribution of vegetation, this is the distribution, therefore this is the distribution of bats. No bat data. I mean, they didn't have any bat data to fool with. They're just making assumptions that because this is what we think the vegetation, this is what they think the vegetation looked like 100 years ago, there wasn't as many bats in the area as there are today. So there's, there's assumption after assumption with this. And then, of course, their conclusion is that, aha, you see, we've got all these new bats in this area. The coronavirus COVID-19, has bat origins at some point in time, but they attributed it to this increase in bat population. And that's why then the virus originated from Wuhan is because the increase in bat population caused an increase in variation in the virus population, which then jumped to an intermediate species, the pangolins, and then the pangolins got sold in the market, and people ate the pangolins, and that's how we got the virus.
Now, and it's all because of climate change. That's the conclusion here. Professor Camillo Mora, I'm going to read this to you. He concludes, the fact that climate change can accelerate the transmission of wildlife pathogens to humans should be an urgent wake-up call to reduce global emissions. That's what they're looking to do. Build evidence for that. That seems far-fetched based upon what I'm reading in this article.
Oh, it is very far-fetched. There is no fact here. They haven't made any causal link an increased bat population or an increase in, and it's not even climate change. I mean, it's CO2. They're saying there is an increase in CO2, but they don't have the CO2 concentrations back 100 years ago. So why are they, saying that other than they have the temperature data? And from the temperature data, they are extrapolating the amount of vegetation that was in the area. And so since there's more vegetation, they think now, and since the CO2 is increased in the area because of the population, then isn't it a logical conclusion that we got more bats, and so therefore we got more possibilities of the coronavirus jumping from the bats?
But isn't it just as likely that there is a long-term cycle here, and there would have been periods in history where these same conditions persisted, maybe 200 years ago, maybe 2,000 years ago? That this comes repeatedly in waves and cycles and is not necessarily due to human emissions of CO2, industrial fossil fuel type emissions.
That's exactly right. And there is no study like that, at least in their paper, because that would then discredit what they're trying to claim. They're trying to get, more research dollars to do, climate change studies. And so therefore you don't want to do it. You don't want to add any more data than you need to in order to say, this is just another cycle that we're going through. And this cycle repeats every 200 or 500 years. If we go back, farther in time, you know, if you look at the Sahara Desert, I mean, the Sahara Desert is called the desert because it's a desert, but it wasn't always a desert. It was lush. It had lush vegetation at one time. We seem to forget that. And so, and that was long before automobiles and trains and all kinds of, you know, stuff that produced more CO2 in the atmosphere. It was, you know, other reasons why that area was once, you know, quite thick with vegetation, and now there isn't any vegetation there. So, you know, to blame everything on carbon dioxide, to blame it on human-produced carbon dioxide, and then to grossly make an assumption that now that we've shown this in our paper, that this is now fact, that climate change has produced the coronavirus, is what they're saying, is absolute absurdity from the data that they're presenting, and makes, you know, is disingenuous to the scientific community, in my mind, because they don't have the data to support it. One, they haven't found the bat or the bats that carry that particular virus itself. And there's more evidence to suggest that that virus did originate from the Wuhan laboratory there, rather than jumping from a bat directly to a human.
Which means human biological intervention. Now, I need, pardon my cynicism here, but is it possible that a paper like this from the University of Cambridge, indicating that this is so, might just spawn another grant for further study, huh?
Oh yeah, well, certainly from the Chinese, it's going to give them, you know, they're definitely, you know, perhaps up, and I don't, this is all supposition, so, you know, they might be up for another grant to further that type of thing. But don't you find it interesting that this article came out February 5th in this study by the WHO, who went into China, supposedly to this area, to do the research to say, did this come from the laboratory or did this come from, you know, a natural occurrences, mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Around.
Just a coincidence, Don. Just a coincidence.
Yeah. It's just a coincidence that this that the timing of this publication would match that of the release of the final conclusions from the WHO, who, by the way, are heavily supported by the Chinese. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just unbelievable the lengths to that which this propaganda is being spewed out in every areas of, you know, of our lives. And for this guy to say the fact that climate change has accelerated the transmission of wildlife pathogens with the evidence from this data, which there is none, is just goes beyond any reasonable, you know, the stretch of the actual facts that are there.
Well, I've boiled this down to a mathematical formula, and you've given us a great lesson in how to read critically reported science, things that are supposedly scientific in basis. And here's the formula: data plus assumptions divided by politics equals science.
If you look in the second paragraph, the report defines, and then in quote marks, very likely, as greater than 90% probability, and then represents the consensus of the community. There is no such thing as consensus of the scientific community. That is a falsity all by its lonesome.
Right. Of course it is, and it's, you know, there may be other scientists that might jump to this conclusion. Why? Because of their assumption that, yes, indeed, you know, we need to do something about climate change, so therefore any studies that are kind of labeled as a climate change study, they're in favor, you know, especially as something like this. So, but you have to look at what they actually did. Now, I don't have they don't have the research paper here to scrutinize the methodology and everything. I'm just taking the information even from this article. But the information from this article gives you no reason to suspect that they actually did any genetic studies to say that, okay, of the, you know, 800 bat species that we have in this area or wherever it was, of those bats, we've looked at all of the viruses that these bats carry, and lo and behold, there is the Corona 19, the COVID 19 virus. There it is in one of these bats. They didn't do that study, and you know, which would give more credence, at least, to their argument if they had done that study. But of course, that would be a very expensive research study to do.
Very interesting. We'll put a link in the podcast to this article if anybody would like to read it critically as well, or sympathetically. You can do that too. You're free to choose based upon what you read with your own eyes there. Don, there's another countervailing fact out of Texas this morning that you probably heard about, and it really doesn't relate to COVID so much as to climate change. But Texas is big on wind power these days, and 23% of the electric grid is generated by wind energy. And it just so happens that this morning, 23% of the windmills are frozen solid.
Yes, I saw that yesterday, and it was yesterday, at least the article I read, that 50% of the 23% were frozen.
That's right.
And then there was a picture on, it was interesting, somebody had posted a picture on Facebook of a helicopter and a guy spraying the windmills with defrosting type of agent in order to try to get the windmills going again, because we're down at least to 12% on our energy.
The result is rolling blackouts across Texas again, the planned blackouts.
I mean, who would have thought that, you know, we would have such freezing conditions?
Well, let's hear it for natural gas, huh? Let's do that. Let's hear a cheer for natural gas.
Well, yes, we have plenty of energy here in Texas. It's just that we've switched over for some crazy reason.
Yeah.
Well, I hope we've learned our lesson.
Well, I think so. I hope so too.
I don't think so. I think that powers that be, now that the Democrats are back in charge, are going to ignore all this stuff, and we won't learn our lesson.
Well, the deluge on social media and the legacy media, as they're being called now. They can overcome common sense very easily and drive us in the wrong direction. So pay attention, people. Read critically. Use your heads and your education. And some of you had those educations, I think. I'm thinking two generations back, though, since anybody's really gone to school on this stuff. I have my doubts. Don Clark, member of the Board of Creation Moments, their website, creationmoments.com. And there you'll find a virtual library, a reservoir of scientific information that supports the biblical story of creation. We recommend a visit there, creationmoments.com. Don Clark, have a wonderful week. Stay warm. Do you have a snow shovel in the house, do you?
No snow shovel.
Oh, me neither.
Nope.
Yikes.
There's no yikes. No snow melt, no salt for melting ice. There's no snow shovels in the stores. No heat tape for pipes.
I went tromping through the snow yesterday, and it took all my energy to do it.
Well, it's fun to watch from inside the house. That's what you do now.
Yeah.
I have a couple of shovels I could send you guys, but I think the snow would melt by the time they got there.
Yeah, probably
so, since that's the hope. Trucks can't send it down.
Now,
Don, we'll see you next week. Have a terrific week, and stay inside. Stay warm, okay?
Okay, very good. Y'all too.
Bye-bye.